Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boak, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yapa, QLLZ, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world of hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
What's up, y'all? This is Miss
Irresistible,
and you're listening to Off the Cuff Radio. Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Damn, oh, bad now. Nobody said you should have already thrown in a towel. But yeah, still trying to play with it. Still trying to stay in it. Trying to keep up with your homeboy. Keep trying to hang with him. You ain't learned a thing yet. Make yourself a pain, yeah. Them older rules are peeling in the plain and safe no more.
You still hanging up all your jerseys to the rafters.
You ain't fooling nobody. I know just what you after. Ain't your girl, leave it alone. None of these folks is saving. You ain't the boss in your crew anyway. I'm a thug. You gon' make me hate you, new. I don't wanna date you, new. I just use you for what you're good for. Really, I'm free play, new. I already don't trust you. You're trying to make me love you. You know that you would level up if I would cuff you. I never liked you in the first place, but you wanted me in the worst way. But I can never settle with you when you don't deserve me. Oh.
You still hanging up all your jerseys to the
What? 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 Chinchilla make hell, no, we can't link. prescription, no Benadryl. Ritalin to help me chill. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel. One here from your love, here from your love. My eyes be rolled to the back. Do you like that? Too much of you is like overdosing. Can't concentrate, I'm just losing focus. Got me over here just wishing and hoping. Sight like the blunt, I just finished rolling. Like Vicodin, you got me lethargic. Can't even feel my body. Like the dosage, I wish we parted. I don't know how it started. Fantasizing about my prescription. These meds are not for children. I hope you listen. Pharmacy just got me waiting, knowing that I'm impatient. Insurance won't cover this time. It helped me realize that I was so blind. Ran out of refill. I don't know how to deal. Can't tell me what is real. I need a shot. I need a shot. 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 Give me all you got. Give me all you got. Let's take a trip. For one more hit. Like Vicodin, you got me lethargic. Can't even feel my body. Like the dosage, I wish we parted. I don't know how it started.
Rolling the candy cutty, still listen to the barcade. I still smoke a zigzag, fuck blunt. Cause you can't even taste the weed, I ain't got a front. But enough about me, let's talk about you. So sophisticated, ask the question, what you into? She said she like popping tags, someone to make her laugh. And going home with a bunch of bags, late night counting like dinner. And I love it when she says she's allergic to them broke niggas. Don't fuck with squares, only dubs. Baby, me and you fit more than the OJ glove. Figured I'll lock you down like Fort Knox. That's when she put my hand on the fart box. We a match made in heaven, pack it back till let's go. Who ain't never been on a ride like this before? Bitch with no brain. Now me and you been kicking it for about 6 months. And girl, I admit, you ain't pull no stunts. You never know when you meet the right honey, cause most of these pretty bitches only in it for the money.
Yeah, what it do, y'all? This your boy King Ed the Great, and you're now tuned in to a special episode of Off the Cuff Radio, episode 311, y'all. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Core Financial, Jesse's Boutique, and now about to be soon to be coming Screwball Radio. That's right, man. Mr. 24/7 is in the place to be. While your favorite radio host is working 9 to 5, I'm doing 24/7 here. So I got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do? OTC up in here, 365, no breaks, 366, and we still with it on the leap. But we always jumping, man. What it do, y'all?
They out there cooking out. We out there cooking interviews. That's what we doing, brother. We cooking content. They cooking burgers.
Look, man, we always keep the menu well done on the media excellence, the entrees, it's so, just exquisite, man, and we don't miss it ever. So, King, tell our audience about who we got tonight, man, for this Super Sunday.
And you know it had to be a special guest because I took a Sunday to commentate her. You know what I'm saying? We had to put some respect on her name and give her her own shine. Because I had her on the show with Bonnie Dawes, which is her cousin. She's one of the hardest working women out in the West Coast. You've seen her on reality shows. You must have heard her music on a lot of reality shows. She's putting a lot of turf work down throughout the music landscape. So without further ado, let's all bring on the lovely Jordan Pauline, y'all, and the place to be.
Hey.
Yep.
How are y'all?
What
How you doing tonight,
What's
love?
Up? What's up, Wonder Woman? What's going on? How you?
Shit, I'm out here surviving, living life. I'm good, though. How are you guys? Long time.
We lounging.
We survived.
Sunday. It's that Sunday chill. Chill day.
Yeah,
right.
Man, look, miss, you got the name Jordan Pauline, sound high class and all types of opulence in terms of, you know, expensive and, you know, exotic. Not me. You know, so we definitely happy to have you on.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Definitely.
Yeah, because last time you was on, we had you and your cousin on. Big shout out to Bonnie Dollars, one of the hardest working women out in the West Coast. So
no,
it was only right there. Let you get your shine.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you rep out in the West, man? You know, we got a little bit of time, man. So go ahead. Tell our listeners about yourself. You know, how you got into the game. You know, where you're from. You know, how you be putting it down.
I'm from Guyana. I came to L.A. and grew up here. Mom, I grew up in the industry. My mom's, like, always been a manager. So, like, I just have always been around it and just, like, you know, I don't know. I just always was around it, and I kind of forced my way into the field of that because nobody really wanted to, like, work with me because I am my mom's daughter. Okay. This homeless man is going to jump out in front of the car and you see me turn it. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord.
Look,
she's driving, trying to avoid
yeah,
the look. Multitasking while she's talking on.
I got my start with Dr. Dre. I ended up writing my first song. Well, not my first song. I ended up writing. That was like my first like big encounter with someone and in a session. They ended up using like the idea I had. And ever since then, I was, like, really gassed up on writing. So I ended up writing, like, all the shows, like, all the songs for Shake It Up. Well, most of the songs for Shake It Up on Disney Channel, Ant Farm, Victorious, iCarly. I actually have a lot of music placed in Grown-ish this season. What else? Insecure. You can check my music out on Insecure now.
Oh man!
But yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, working hard. Now I dropped my first single as an official artist 3 years ago, which was by the name of Trash, # throw the whole nigga away, and ever since then I've just been going. Yeah.
Yo, and that's real too. We got to shout out Issa Rae for Insecure because I mean,
yes.
Issa really put on a lot of people. You know, there's also, because especially, you know, Jordan, with what you've been doing out on the West Coast, because there's a lot of female artists out there, you know. When you said Insecure, I immediately thought of Cam and Chyna. And those, ooh, I'm in love with them. Shout out to Inglewood, y'all. I mean, because those girls, I mean, and then of course, you know, you got girls like Cop Pistol Cree, you know what I'm saying? You got Slim Gutter, I mean, you know, Angela Donna. I mean, y'all are putting in some work out there, you know, just doing it for the ladies, man, keeping it first out on the West, man.
Yes, this is the time for the woman. Honestly, the music industry has been way too male-dominated lately. You know, we have our main superstars like Rihanna and Beyonce, but I honestly feel like the time for the woman is about to, like, it's really the time to shine, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
Now, you coming up in the business in terms of watching, you know, the LA scene, especially for women evolve in this new generation, you know, and you being a part of it. You said, you know, you had the obstacles of people, you know, not necessarily taking you seriously and all that. But how did you manage to really develop yourself in terms of finding your identity as an artist?
Honestly, I always thought I was somebody as a kid. Like, I just always had that mentality of, like, I just knew what I wanted to do. Like, so it's just always been, like, a hunger set in me to do it. Even if I just had to, like, find my own way to do it, I did. Like, I had to, like, prove it to my mama. Like, I had to go get my own studio time and, like, you know, just connect the dots. And just for it to be taken a little bit more serious. I've always been, like, really expressive, too. Like, I can't explain. I just been writing. I just, music has just always been a part of me. It's, like, never something that's ever left me. Like, I used to have, like, my MySpace and, like, Facebook just gassing up my name on there. And everybody would think I had music out and never had music out. And then now I finally have music out. So it's, like, crazy. So, interesting.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, what have you found in terms of the industry? Because a lot of people, you know, King, myself, you know, other co-hosts, you know, Sandman, you know, and Chinchilla, we always talk in the game about it in terms of just what it means, because so many artists get into the game but really, really don't understand the hard work that goes into it. And especially for being a woman, we know it's especially challenging. What does it really, you know, what do artists up and coming really need to understand about the tenacity, the dedication, the focus, the inevitable ups and downs, challenges and hurdles that you have to overcome to really be successful, and most importantly, the non-guarantees of becoming successful?
Honestly,
what do artists have to go ahead.
You guys gotta understand that if this is something you want and you don't take no for an answer, like, if this is something you want, you can't give up on it. Like, this is not for the weak at heart at all. Like, this is, like, probably, I can't even explain it. This is, like, it's so many crazy roads and ups and downs. And a lot of people give up because they're like, oh, it didn't happen yet. Oh, I'm turning this age. Like, you never know. You just got to move around, like, the shit that's not working out. Figure it out. You got to be just a fucking mastermind. It's chess, not checkers. You got to be smart. You got to stay prayed up, manifest it, speak over yourself, speak life over yourself, and just keep going, because it's a lot of haters out there and people that don't want to see you, you know, win. But if this is something you want to do, if this is something you genuinely want to do and it's like a passion for you, then I suggest you go do it. Ain't nothing in this world is impossible, and it's only sometimes non-guaranteed because they didn't work hard enough for them to even get it. You feel me? Or, you know, shit happens sometimes, but, like, everything is in the work. And you got to go hard for yourself, anything you want, you know? This shit is not given to you. You got to go hard for yourself. You can't expect the manager to come in and just, like, da-da-da. With all that come in, you still got to work hard because, like, that really... Where the frick is the freaking Sora?
Look at the stove.
I'm in a garage. I'm lost trying to find it. But you know, this is it's not easy, but if you want it, you can get it. Honestly.
Now you know, people would probably ask like, what are your musical influences, but going by how you talk and how you articulate yourself and how you handle your business moves, are there, like, any books in particular that helped you gain that knowledge on how to take on the industry?
My mom is really, really smart. Like, really, really smart. Like, I just watched how... And also, like, since I grew up, like, watching her manage her artists, like, I've seen, like, what the women would go through. If it was, like, a particular boyfriend, like, I would see how, like, distractions are a thing, weight issues are a thing, mental issues are a thing, substance issues are a thing. Like, I know right from wrong, you know, because I grew up and experienced it all. And I took, out of every situation, I dissected and took what I wanted to, like, for me to be. Like, I always, like, if I see, like, some crazy shit that my mom's artist was doing back in the day, I used to be like, I don't want to be like that when I get, like, I always spoke that over myself, that I was not going to be like this, because I'm going to be, like, you know, like, great. I always spoke great over myself. Like, I just found I found the diary, actually, yesterday, and it was from 2008, and how old was I? I think I was fucking 8, or 9, and, no, I was, like, 8. I started crying because I really what I was saying in there, like, I literally achieved all of that. And, like, I was just, like, I can't explain. I just got super emotional. And I was like, wow, like, this is, like, a real thing. You really got to just believe in yourself and just, like, be great, you know? And
that's just, like, the vision coming
to
life.
Even though I'm not where I want to be. Yeah, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I know I'm going to reach that, you know? And I feel like if anybody has a dream out there, like, they can honestly do that. Like, you know, this is it.
You know, and that's real, too, George. And that's real, too, because also when you said, you know, your mom's, you know, really gave you game on it, you know, also, you know, one of our good friends and sponsors of the show, Cocaine with Buddy Boy Entertainment, you know, his daughter, you know, Anissa, you know, who's one of the, you know, rising stars on the West Coast, you know, he gave her a lot of game from him being a, you know, veteran, you know, in, you know, hip-hop for over 30 years, you know, so... It's always important, I think, you know, and it's always an advantage, especially when you have a parental figure who is well-versed, you know, because the business is cutthroat. You know, we've seen the horror stories, you know, and there's, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, just trying to get your foot in the door is difficult. Now, you talked about some of the production placements that you got in various shows and, you know, movies and all that. How did you go about that in terms of doing that, and how important is it to have that business in order in terms of, you know, making sure you have your, you know, publishing straight in reference to getting your royalties and all that stuff?
Like a music supervisor too, so she gets like music placed in like TV.
Gotcha.
Yeah, people gotta also understand the importance of having a solid team behind you. Like, that's how you can also not be able to be taken advantage of. When you got a solid team behind you, and they actually know the business and know the street politics and know the industry politics, the chances of falling into the traps is going to be slim.
Yeah. For sure. I've always been like, I don't know. I just feel like I've always been like the head of the game because my mom is so smart, like, with all of that. So, excuse me, where's Target?
I just say we just hope Target ain't burnt down.
I know. It's like an amusement park.
The LA cats are tearing up everything, yo.
Mm-hmm. It's so complicated outside.
I'm hoping Target is,
but yeah, you
because
know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Okay,
see. Definitely. So in terms of... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. What do you think?
Yeah, so in terms of where you see the industry right now in terms of the marketing and how artists are getting in, what's your impression of a lot of artists? Do you think a lot of times we're seeing a lot of talent coming to the surface, or do you see sometimes some artists just getting into the game just because there's notoriety and some type of,
yeah,
for them, instant celebrity?
And it's manipulation. It's easier now. It's manipulation. With the older times in music, you actually had to have, like, people, it's like a word of mouth type of thing, and then the music would spread, like, from people talking about it, and they'll gain actual fans and record sales. This is what, like, it's manipulation. It's social media now.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing people say it all the time. People have no choice but to be like, okay, like, damn, these niggas is always in my face. Especially when you have the money to be able to push your music and your, you know, your look and all that and all that good stuff. It adds a different element to you. So it makes, like, 6ix9ine. I honestly do not believe 6ix9ine has all of those fans. Those are nothing but he has the money to push his music because, you know, he's 6ix9ine. But everything is manipulation. This is thrown in your face. He had the money to push it and be in people's face all the time, so he's shoving it down our throats. You feel me? So it's like a cheat code now. It's easier to make money. Social media is more utilizable. You feel me? And it's a lot of manipulation. A lot of people are here just for right now, just for the time. They're not here for the time, you know. You can't vibe to somebody like 6ix9ine. You can't grow to somebody like listening to that. You can't feel with nothing like that. People are going to gravitate to the newer age of music when you feel something, because music, you can't feel in a lot of music nowadays. Even though music is getting better, like with Britt Fayaz and like, I would say one of my favorite rappers, like he's about to drop some amazing stuff. It's different levels of music, you know. I feel like timeless music is going to be the new wave of music. It's not like, it's not going to be a 6ix9ine. And not to bash that man, I just know it's manipulation. It's nothing real. And I mean, it's just, I don't know. But music
is
getting
better. It's easy to manipulate numbers.
Yeah, it's so
very
easy
to
now.
Manipulate
like, all you need is the money. All you need is the money. Like, seriously. Like, I'm literally pushing my music from the ground up. I am literally pushing my music from the ground up. I work very hard. I connect the dots. You feel me? I'm figuring it out because I want a fan base that's going to stay and grow into, like, fanatics like the Beliebers or the Beehive or the, you know, Nicki Minaj's fans, you know, the Barbs, because those niggas are fucking crazy, you know? Like, that's the whole purpose of, you know. But
now you heard of the term of cooking the books. Y'all heard of the terms cooking the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
So that's what a lot of yeah, what they cooking the books, that mean they cooking the numbers, because you could tell when numbers are inflated. When a lot of them, they have about 5 or 6 million followers, but then when a nigga drop a project, he doing 6,000 units. So you telling me right there, that's
exactly
something, they cooking the books.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's something too that I think is not talked about a lot, is the fact that you do have, and I could be wrong, you know, they call
so
me too nice to the facts, but even.
Hello?
Yeah, people could be
real gullible.
Oh. Yeah, people just gullible, so it's like easy. So people, and they see that, and people, everyone's followers, that's why we have social media, to follow each other. So when people see that, oh, this person likes them, and he's getting this, because when he hop on the way, let me see what this is all about. And the shit could be fake all along. You don't even know. You feel me?
Like I said, they call me too nice to the facts. But even I could be wrong on something, because I've heard something about where they have software where you can actually, you know, create artificial numbers, you know, and that's what they use for that marketing push. You know, we talked about this on the show plenty of times about how, you know, like King said, you know, these artists have like 4 million followers. When they do a show, there's going to be like less than 100 people there. You know what I'm saying? You know, those numbers don't always translate to real fans.
And it's all about making real, genuine fans that's going to die for you and support you and love you through your ups, your downs, your highs and lows. Look how long it took R. Kelly fans to finally to kind of stop fucking with him. And he's still being fucked with in jail. On God. Because he got some serious,
you know,
genuine fans, because his music has impacted people to a point where people could make babies to it, feel to it, cry to it, dance to it, uplift to it. You feel me? Like Michael Jackson, for instance, the way he had all them fans is because people connected to him. They felt him. You feel me? Like, they felt like, I can't explain it. Like, they just, people are not feeling. And everything is just fake manipulation. It's not really like, it's not,
you know,
it's definitely all about impact. Because it's, something could tell me something where you have Tupac, where he's been dead for 26 years, and yet he's still out selling all these other guys.
Exactly.
You know, but the funny thing about it, you know, and like King said, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, if we're talking about, you know, R. Kelly, and we're talking strictly about his music and not his, you know, other issues, or Michael Jackson or Tupac, you're talking about individuals that during the time where you could arguably say, like, Michael had the 80s, him and Prince, you know, because that was really beginning to see the development of black music, you know, really becoming mainstream, you know, and, you know, Michael had just really, you know, Michael was getting older and had really found his stride in that pop, you know, pop stratosphere, you know, of course, you know, of course, with R. Kelly, you know, coming after Michael, you know, in terms of the R&B, you know, R. Kelly, you know, yes, he's a perv, and we've kind of knew that for years. I mean, look, this is off the cuff. We're not saying nothing that nobody knows, that nobody doesn't know, because this is stuff that's been going on with him. But the fact is with Kells is, you know, but before we knew all of this back in the day, you know, I mean, this dude was making music that literally became the soundtrack for a lot of people's lives, you know. When you look at Tupac, Tupac was the living embodiment of what hip-hop was in terms of that from the street, you know, ghetto rebellion. You know, he was a voice for the disenfranchised and the ignored, you know, for the downtrodden, you know, and the abused, you know, by authority. His presence was something that really, really, really is emblematic of what the culture represents. And I think that's why, you know, like King said, the man's been dead, you know, 24 years, you know, but it's like he still resonates with people for what his music brought, you know, and it's, you know, and I mean, it's still indelible in its impact today. You know, I think we all agree that a lot of artists coming in, you know, we look at what happened with 6ix9ine when he came in, where pop, you know, R. Kelly and Michael had genuine, undeniable, and infinite, limitless talent. You know, basically 6ix9ine came in from a whole bunch of a clown campaign, you know, a bunch of crazy ass antics, you know, a lot of bombastic, you know, ratchetness that somehow got passed off as actual talent. Until he found out, you know, those people he was running with, them niggas were some real goons. And look what happened when he got swept up in that situation. And I want to ask you this too, Ms. Pauline. What do you feel about in terms of how some artists try to start living a life that really is not them? Because we know artists who actually are from the streets, who really, really, really with the shits, and they just want to get out the shit, you know, as opposed to those who get in it and then they start trying to live out something that was not them. What's your opinion about that?
As I'm saying, it's a lot of followers. A lot of people don't really know who to be. They just see what's working, so they, you know, hop on what's working because they're like, oh, this person can do it, I can do it too. Just be you, because being you, honestly, even though how cliche that sounds, like, being you, like, people have no choice but to choose to fuck with it or not. You can improve you, make you better, you feel me? As we all should, as we evolve and grow in life, always make yourself better. But I feel like what really works for people is just for them to be themselves, you know? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
just for
we can hear you.
Oh.
Now, in terms of... Now, in terms of what you've done with your movement, have you pretty much been actively pursuing a record deal? Or, you know, have you been pretty much pursuing a deal, or pretty much have you content to kind of do it?
That's in the process. Yeah, that's in the process. Very soon.
Okay,
yeah, very
you.
Soon.
Okay.
Very soon. I just don't want to be caught on sale. And I've always expressed that. I want it to be impactful. I want them to put the building behind me. Don't put me on a shelf. A lot of people just be quick to sign deals and be in the most terrible contract ever. That's why I'm grateful to have my mom that's in the business know, you know, like, she has her head on her shoulders, you feel me? So it's just like, why aim low when you can always aim high and still get it? People be so quick to settle. You don't have to settle in life for anything. whatever you want, you can get it, period. And, you know, that's me. I could have settled last year or a year before that. You know, with a couple of stank little bills that's been thrown at me. But, I mean, why? And when I could, you know, be satisfied and happy. That's in the process, though, very soon.
Word. Yeah. You know, and it's something what you said about, you know, don't settle. And also, too, you know, King and myself also want to get your, you know, opinions on it. Because one thing, I remember what Red Cap said, a good friend of mine once said in an interview, and he said, and I've never forgotten this from when he said it, he said, when you sign a deal, it doesn't mean that you're rich and that your life has changed. It just means that you have an opportunity. Yeah.
Right. You really got to work hard.
Yeah, because now
you really gotta put your fucking shit in.
Definitely. Now, what do artists have to understand in terms of negotiating deals? Obviously, we're not gonna ask you the terms of yours in terms of what you're in the works of, you know, putting together. But what do artists have to understand about deals in terms of how they are constructed, and what is what goes along with that in terms of putting the whole business plan together with it?
I feel like, say it one more time. You said,
what do artists have to understand in terms of negotiations with deals, in terms of making sure that they get the best for them, in terms of, how it works for them? Because like you said, a lot of artists get stuck in a lot of shitty deals, and we can name a few artists. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 Cent, he talked about when he was with Columbia, how they had him for 8 albums, you know. Of course, we saw what happened with N.W.A., you know, and in terms of, you know, how, you know, that situation, the business wasn't always great. You know, so many situations we see, you know, where, you know, even with the, you know, the Locks and Bad Boys, you know, their issues with Puffy for a lot of years because of their publishing, because I believe Puffy owned I think it was Styles and Jada's publishing that Puffy had owned, if I'm not mistaken. I think Sheik was the only one who Puffy didn't have his publishing. But, you know, they made it that was an issue between them for a lot of years in terms of the business issues. It's you know, that's why they wanted to get off of Bad Boy. What do artists have to understand about who they sign with and how to properly negotiate?
Honestly, I would just say make sure you have a great attorney. You know, overlooking your contract. You have to have a great attorney. I have an amazing attorney. He's awesome. I personally can't really speak much on it. I would just say educate yourself. Don't be so eager. Pray on it. You know, sit on it. Make sure it's overlooked by the right person, right people. You have the right. Even if you don't, you feel in your gut you don't have the right team around you that's supporting you and holding you down. You know, at least put the effort into finding a good attorney that will be able to negotiate your deal, even help you get a better deal, or if your manager is on his P's and Q's. Like, a lot of people have retarded ass managers. Like, little kids as their managers. I do not expect how artists think they're going to get far with a fucking fit-ass manager that's a kid. Like, I don't know. But make sure at least anybody in your team that you're working with you trust, and they're looking out for you, best interest at heart. And just honestly, pray on it. I don't know. Just make sure you do your research, whatever it is, you know, aim high. I can't really speak on it that much because the way I've structured my shit is going to be, you know, I'm keeping that private until, you know, things are ink is dry. But, you know.
Right. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Just make sure your attorney is good.
Now, that also leads us to another part of it, Pauline, because what you're dealing with is what you said resonates so much because. And King and, you know, we all talk about, we talk on there, off there about this shit, the manager. There's a certain artist, you know, out there, we're not going to name names, but this artist's manager, and you know who it is, we're not going to say, but he makes enough noise as is. Basically, it's like, he's supposed to represent his artist, and he be in the news more than his artist does. And we're like, yo, and we're looking at the artist like, yo, it's like, dude, your manager worked for you. You know, why is he all up in the camera saying crazy stuff, you know, talking about people? And the fact is, your manager is the conduit of your business. That is a person who has the responsibility of making sure your career is flowing in the right trajectory of the upward success and not the downward spiral of, you know, the abyss. Where do you think a lot of times some artists make the mistake in terms of, you know, hiring the wrong management? Do you think it's just out of sometimes a nepotism, a friendship, or someone who talks about how they can do things and they really can't? What have you observed with situations with people who have bad management?
I can't really, I mean, I feel like as an artist, you got to do so much groundwork already to make sure your career pops. Just make sure you're
right.
Working hard. Like, I honestly feel like artists depend on other people to help their career take off. And that's
right.
really not up to nobody but you. You're going to go as far as you allow yourself to work and people, you know, not working hard and expecting the results of working hard, and don't work like that. But I would say, once you like making a name for yourself and like you really like paving a way, I feel like the right people gonna come along anyway. And you just gotta trust your gut feeling, like your discernment on like if they're right for you or not. You feel me? Like, don't
right.
be so quick to get a manager. Make sure you building you working you. Nobody wants to develop somebody from the ground up like that, because like you really gotta put the work in as an artist. For you to win, you have to put the work in. And then the right people gonna start coming along and then bringing you opportunities. You don't even gotta. You got 14 cents? No? Okay, you got 14 cents? You got 14 cents? Yeah. I don't wanna break this 100. Thanks.
She balling. She got the bench coming. Balling. Flawless.
She ain't trying to break the 100.
I ain't trying to break it. Yeah, you gotta, like, as an artist, thank you. I think I have 14 cents in my pocket, too. I don't know. Don't be so quick, you know, to rest into something. Make sure it's right. Make sure you develop who you are and you figure the shit out that you wanted to do for yourself. I mean, yeah, the right people gonna come along, you know. The right people gonna come along the way. But please do not think you need a manager. I mean, to like really take off. You mean you do? We all need a team to be great. But
right.
I mean, you gotta really put in the groundwork for you to be great. You feel me? Then you'll
right.
be able to add the pieces. And all that good stuff, because, yeah, and then some managers are trying to come along like, oh, I can help you do this and that, and let me take 50%, blah, 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 blah. And people be like, oh, they want 20%, oh, that's too much. You still got to cut up your money for you to, you know, these are people that's a part. You got to make sure you take care of people that's even helping you and your team. Don't be stupid. Oh, this person wants 20%, da, 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 da. If they're good people, they're doing the right thing by you, and they believe in you. And they got the resources that's helping you. Make sure, you know, give that split, you know, because, like, you got to look at yourself as a business. McDonald's, if it was one person at McDonald's working and all the money was coming in and it's 10 other people, you feel me? Like, you still got to split that money because it's a organization. You got to look at yourself like, you know, as a business.
Right.
This is, you got to feed the people that's helping you. You can't be out here thinking like, oh, it's all my money. I did like, no, you got to feed the people that's helping you win, period.
And
I know a lot of artists that be like hiding their checks, not trying to, you know, break people off or, you don't work like that.
Right.
Don't work like that.
And that's another question, you know, we wanted to ask you as well, because you know, there's a lot of artists, you know, and this is pretty much everywhere, you know. How important is it to have humility and understanding the difference in terms of really, because you should, one should always have humility, but I think the issue is you got a lot of artists who try to act like they Hollywood, you know, and they mm-hmm. haven't, you know, cut their wood, you know, with a tree to get it down for the success, you know, and they just act like they all Hollywood, like they already made it. How important is it to really understand from a personal perspective of being humble and just really understanding,
humility,
you know, how to connect with your people?
It's a superpower. It's a superpower. Mm-hmm. You have to be humble. You have to be humble,
right,
bro. Humility is a superpower. That's how God's going to keep blessing you. Like,
right,
I've met some of the biggest stars so humble. Only a couple stars I've met that was like, you know, a little, okay, this one's a little different. But, like, having a pure heart, that's the way to go. For real. Humility is a superpower. And that's, you're not a star if you acting cocky. So superstars don't act cocky. They just got confidence. And, you know,
right,
a different type of presence about them. You got to figure out another way to capture that, you know, emotion instead of coming off as an asshole. Because assholes get cussed out. Like yesterday, I cussed out an asshole trying to play with
me.
Oh,
Lord.
And, you know, sometimes you got to cuss out people, you know, but they get their little attitudes in check because I'm not the one to play with. Humility is a power, though. And I will say that. That's all I got to say.
I think a lot of
you
guys,
gotta be humble,
I think, once they start seeing that advance money, $100K, they're going to treat it like they got $100 million. That's the most money they ever seen.
Yeah.
They like, I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah,
damn,
you gotta,
my nigga, you ain't no Rothschild, my nigga.
No,
that humility, that humility carries you far, because believe it or not,
yeah, carries you far. You
way,
get what you want.
That's where
out of
a lot of artists got on, just by showcasing mm-hmm. humility, being the type of person that's easy to approach mm-hmm. and being the person that, you know, they ain't afraid to take a picture with a fan. I be mm-hmm. finding crazy how a lot of these super tough dudes, when they get around people, they more start getting scared. They start getting paranoid and being disrespectful to the fans. I'm like, dang, my dude. I'm like, we bought your record in the rain. You could at least take a picture.
Yeah. You know, and that's something where a lot of times, too, a lot of artists don't understand. You know, when you sign that money, you know, for that money, like King said, you know, you get $100,000, but that's a loan from the label, you know, and you got to end up paying that money back to them somehow, some way. You know what I'm saying? You know, in terms of really, really understanding, you know, how the business works of it. Ain't nobody giving you that money without thinking they're not going to get some get back on it for that. You know, I mean, that's definitely something I think a lot of artists have to understand.
Yeah, I think her call got dropped, so hopefully she could try to call back.
Yeah, definitely, man. But, you know, I mean, you know how it goes, King. You know, like you said, you know, so many artists get on there trying to act like they done made it. Like you said, you know, 100 racks, that's the biggest, you know, that's the, you know, that's the most money they've ever seen. You know, this is Off the Cuff Radio on Sunday. Call number is 1-516-531-9596. Talk about Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Dirty Basement, and, of course, Da Vinci Clothing. We are live and direct with the lovely and multi-talented Miss Jordan Pauline. We're waiting for her to come back in the host queue right now. You know, but yeah, King, I mean, but, you know, I think what she said is definitely the most important about humility, man, because, you know, no matter who you are, whether you are, you know, going to be at the top of the mountain. Okay.
I got her back on.
Hey. Sorry, my phone dropped. I was in the elevator.
You're good.
Making
yeah,
business transactions,
I mean,
and doing an interview with us. You tell me they ain't dedicated.
This woman is a super woman, no doubt.
On a Sunday at that.
On a Sunday. Right.
Yeah.
Got these cats out
but
here sleeping. They playing Xbox.
So definitely.
Be working,
definitely,
damn it.
So definitely, Miss Pauline. So you're from Guyana. Is that Georgetown, Guyana? Georgetown?
Yes, GT. Yes, Georgetown.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. So how do your roots pretty much influence your music? Being South American, Afro Latin. How does that influence your music?
Not Latin. It's just in me, you know? It's just in me. It naturally comes out. And,
it's just something that is just expression of what you do?
Yeah. It just comes out. I don't know.
It's the spirit. Because you notice how you bring out God in a lot of your phrases, and you know it's the spirit. You get in tune with your spirit, and it brings out the soul within your music.
Like being Caribbean is fun. I'm just like being a proud Caribbean. So it's fun.
Caribbean. Got you. Got you, Afro-Caribbean rhythms. Got you.
That
pretty
diversity.
Much, yes. So in terms of what you found in terms of being an actress as well as being an artist, what are the disciplines that have really enabled you to really, hone your acting skills as well?
What'd you say?
I said in terms of your... And also in reference to you being, an artist, it also lets you being an actress as well. How have you, translated all of those disciplines in terms of especially, with your thespian, talents as well, honing those, being an actress?
I just make time. I love doing both equally. Like, I think it allows me to be, like, an excuse to be, like, a certain way. And music is just a way for me to, like, express my emotions, like, all the stuff I go through. Like, I can't bottle it up. I have to express it. If you, have a lot going on, find an expressive thing to do with the painting, drawing, writing down in a journal. You have to express those emotions because emotions can build up and, like, I don't know.
Sir, your parking ticket.
I think it's like...
Thank you for your visit
and have a safe day. I think it's fun. I really enjoy acting. I actually, before quarantine started, I was filming a Warner Brothers movie right now, but we had to stop production because of the coronavirus. So hopefully we could just start back that up soon because it's really, really like, I just make time for it. I mean, I'm not on tour yet or anything. Like, I don't know how it's going to be when my music starts picking up, But as of right now,
Definitely. Now, who are some of your favorite actors and actresses, who really inspired you to do it?
That's a hard one for me. Take
your time. We still got an hour.
Usually we have 2 hours running time, but guests could dictate the interview.
Hey, yeah, we got time. Ooh. We got time.
I don't even know actors and actresses' names like that. I mean, Halle Berry, because she's cool.
Okay, what about movies?
I love black movies, like... Anything 90s and black, I'm all for. Like, Strong, How to Be a Player,
yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
I just love black movies. I've watched every single black movie ever, from the Spike Lee joints to brothers joined to, like, I watched
brother?
Everything.
The Hughes brothers? Yeah.
Like, that's what I would gravitate to. Like, when I watch TV, like, if it's actual TV, I'll put it on Martin or the Wayne Brothers Show, Living Single. I don't really like Fresh Prince. That show makes me cringe. I don't know why. But I just like anything black.
Now,
I was gonna troll you a little bit. I was gonna troll you and say, what about Seinfeld?
Oh no.
In terms of movies, because you say the 90s with such enthusiasm and such reverence, because me and King talk about this all the time in terms of that nostalgia, you know, we all agree between the years roughly of when hood movies really started coming in, like the late 80s, early 90s, you know, movies like Lean On Me, Juice, you know, Fresh, you know, New Jack City, Menace to Society, Jason Lyric. Like you said, How to Be a Player, you know, all Soul Food, all the comedies, all the drama comedies, you know, like, you know, I mean, we're just resigned to the fact that we're never going to see another era like that again.
I know. It's so sad. Makes me sad because movies will never be the same again. Even like the old school white movies, like Fatal Attraction, Single White People and shit, like, there's not going to be a good movie like that ever. I feel like today's movie sucks.
Yo, can you imagine them doing a movie like Fatal Attraction back? Because, like, I mean, when you got movies like Body Heat with William Hurt, you know, and Kathleen Turner back in the day, and of course, you know, like you said, Fatal Attraction with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas. I mean, those movies were, like, considered provocative and racy for the 80s. I'm like, yo, I'm like, if they had done something like that today, I'm like, could they have gotten away with something like that?
80s and the mid-90s, the content was so over the top and crazy. If you talk about cancel culture, Hollywood would have been canceled as a whole.
They would have canceled Hollywood altogether.
Because everybody going to just cancel that. They'll put a big-ass X on Hollywood right there.
Definitely.
Eddie Murphy Raw would not see the day of light.
Or Delirious. Man, some of them jokes, boy. I mean, look, when I think of whatchamacallit, Raw King, I always think of that joint where he does the Mr. T skit. I'm like, man. You know, it's not me, but yeah, that's like, but yeah, Jordan, in terms of how do you see a lot of the black directors today, like, you know, Jordan Peele, you know, Lee Daniels, you know, so many others that are like kind of bringing in that Tyler Perry, you know, with that, who are kind of bringing in that new Hollywood, you know, in terms of just that overall, you know, just that new Hollywood vibe, you know, kind of, you know, for the black generation.
No parking over here. I don't know.
That's why the Undertaker comes.
I don't know. Yeah.
I thought Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan got some juice out there.
I don't know. I'm not really a black actor I really fuck with right now.
I mean, he was Killmonger.
Like, I don't really know. There's not really many people I like. And when I do like you, you're like super special. Like,
you know what's the trip?
Like,
you know what's the trip? The reason. But see, you know, there's a reason why. a reason why that it's hard to name a lot of black actors because a lot of the black actors are not even from the States. A lot of them come from, like...
Oh, the nigga from Get Out. The nigga from Get Out that did that crime with his eyes open. Amazing.
Yeah. He
amazing.
Ain't even from here.
And Lupita Nyong'o.
Huh? He ain't even from the States.
Yeah,
he's
from London.
From Britain or somewhere.
Yeah.
And of course, you got John Boyega. You know, John Boyega, he's from London. You know, but you know, we go from back in the days because, you know, we look at so many of these black actors and actresses. They're really, they really were making, you know, some, you know, like Martin Lawrence, you know, and of course, Chris Tucker, who really got big, you know, and then we look at, you know, actors like, you know, Alan Payne, you know, Tyrone Turner. I still say Tyrone Turner should have got an Oscar for Menace to Society. I mean, that dude.
Oh, yes.
You know.
They could recount that.
I mean, Boys in the Hood should have got it in 91. Menace to Society should have gotten it in 93. I mean, when you're talking about two movies that really encapsulated the black experience from the hood, me it was a shame Tyrone never really got the... He never really got that big, big role that would really catapult him to superstardom. But I mean, that was a time when you saw a lot of these. You just saw there was another movie called Just Another Girl on the IRT, you know, with Ariana Johnson, and she really should have gotten bigger than what she did. You know, and it's like, but that talent we had in the 90s, you know, was just so powerful. And it's like, you know, of course, and then we had the old guard. You know, we had Eddie Murphy. We had Rhea Fox, rest in peace, Richard Pryor, you know, Denzel Washington, you know, Arsenio Hall, you know, Miguel Nunez, and it's like now it's like we're just looking for that next generation. Like King said, Michael B. Jordan is, you know, leading that charge, you know, among many. But it's like still, you know, he just can't be the one to do it by himself. Do you think that Hollywood is still somewhat reluctant to really kind of push a lot of the new black talent coming out, or do you think it's just all about timing in terms of who comes in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's people about to kiss black people off for a minute. The ass kissing is for sure in full pompo mode, which I'm here for because we completely deserve it. But I'm just saying, like, Hollywood is for sure going to start casting more black actors and stuff. Easily.
Oh, yeah. You know what I call it? We're going to get that Black Lives Matter.
Like, even all the roles I've been auditioning for, like, it's a lot of male, it's a lot of black stuff coming out. Like,
that's what's up.
And
that's
we're going to get that Black Lives Matter package. That means black actors are going to get big pushes now. You know what I mean? We're gonna get platinum shows. We're gonna take advantage of this Black Lives Matter package that the government is giving us right now.
Definitely.
Because everybody's on the black wave, so we're gonna take advantage.
You said what?
Definitely.
Everybody's on the black wave right now, because I looked at something just now that popped up on my screen. And they got the Care Bears throwing up the Black Lives Matter. So I'm like, all right, we need that money.
The creator Care Bears create a new bear, you know, Black Lives Matter bear.
Yeah, we need that Mattel money now. That shit is long.
Yeah, man. So in terms of the recent social events, in terms of how everything has happened, you know, how did, you know, in terms of how it's affected the whole world and not just the United States, what's your opinion on the climate of, you know, this change that we're seeing in society in terms of people really, really being, you know, motivated to, you know, activism, to protest, to really be the catalyst to make change?
She
there with
us,
Dean?
She didn't get pushed.
Oh, I was talking. I accidentally muted it.
Okay.
No, we needed certain stuff, even though it was unfortunate events that had to transpire for everything that started to happen. We needed these unfortunate events, sadly, because we deserve the rights that we deserve and we treat it the way we deserve to be. You know, I feel like if you don't genuinely support it, if you don't feel like it's affecting you, you don't really care, then please just don't be fake about it. Just don't care. And, you know, just because you being fake about it shows your fakeness about it. You feel me? So in order for you not to look like a complete asshole, just keep silent. We're going to figure it out. I feel like better days are coming. And, you know, we don't get it. We don't get there. Even though it's sad that we keep losing people. Very sad that we keep losing people. But I feel like you're cute. We're going to get there for sure.
You know, what you said, Yeah. You know, what you said is real, because the fact is you got a lot of people that really, shout out to, you know, everybody, you know, Black Lives Matter, the people who represented Black, White, Hispanic, Asian, because we're seeing this from all over the world supporting, you know, us in terms of saying that we as a people have a right to live. But you also have some people, like you said, that just are trying to be, you know, an activist, you know, but the reality, they're activists. You know, they only want to come around when the drama comes and make it look like that they're really for the cause. But other times, like you said, they're not really having the proper information to really, you know, disseminate dialogue and give real, engage in real conversations about pollution. You know, and the thing is, before, I feel like, you know, before you actually can get into making change, you really have to be educated on what's going on and really have a passion. Sometimes you get some people that are just going to try to use this try for their own end, where they're not concerned about other people, but just how they can gain their celebrity. You know, we had a guest rostered on Friday. You know, definitely we had a dialogue about, you know, all the hoteps, you know, the internet fraudsters who try to pass themselves off as being these epistles of wisdom, where they're the epitome of ignorance for their non-knowledge. What is your opinion about a lot of these individuals out here who try to act like that they really speak for the Black community, for our plight, but really have no idea what they're talking about?
For a woman, not a fellow.
Okay, thank you. You know, honestly, I wasn't, I was in and out of what you were saying. I'm so sorry, because the lady
it's
was
okay,
talking
it's
to
okay.
me.
No, it's okay. I'll just ask you. Yeah, just asking, what do you think about a lot of these internet fraudsters? Because we had a show Friday with a guest, Ross, and we were just talking about a lot of these pseudo-academics, you know, these phony, you know, philosophers, these hotep hooey niggas that basically just talk a whole bunch of nonsense on their YouTube channels about why they're the epitome of intelligence, where they're the basically, they're really just the example of ignorance. How do you feel about a lot of these guys online who try to talk about, you know, how they know so much about the Black community solutions, but these guys are really ignorant themselves in what they try to speak on?
I haven't seen that yet. Where, it's on YouTube? Who's saying?
Oh, you're
going to
see a lot of it. All you got to do is follow. I'm going to tell you this. Follow our content on Instagram. You're going to see a lot of that. We're going to put you onto that. So that way you can know exactly who we addressing. You also give you a good laugh, too.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
I have not heard of that. I'm going to look into it for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
A lot of them faking the funk out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know it is.
Matter of fact, we would love to engage some of those guys on the show just to call them out for their nonsense. But we pretty much a lot of times on the show we want to keep it diplomatic, you know. But I think the biggest issue in the black community that is so prevalent at times is that for some of us who don't know a lot, we let ourselves just share the wrong information by a lot of people. And that's why I implore all of us, you know, for nation building, for village empowerment, to really, really read real history, to really read, you know, real books and get real information. Because, you know, in these times we're living in right now, there's a lot of sensationalism.
Hey, you know,
they, a lot of lies.
You know this is them,
yeah.
Right? You know this is them right here.
Huh.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
Man, Alan Payne with that CB4 skit is never going to get old. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I gotta rub the shea butter on the monitor right here.
Period.
Man, that movie. You said you just finished watching CB4, Miss Pauline. How relevant do you think that movie is for what Chris Rock did? You know, what they did, because the movie to me was absolute genius. How relevant do you think that movie is in terms of how it reflects a lot of artists today?
You said which movie?
CB4. Yeah. How do you think that movie is relevant today to how it relates to a lot of artists?
I have not seen that movie. I have not seen that movie, but I heard that song before. I thought that was a Spike Lee movie.
We gotta put you on to that. That is one of Chris Rock's greatest comedies. That movie is hilarious. You have got to see it. Oh my goodness, you've got to see it.
It's on Netflix.
It's probably on Netflix, yes. That movie was released in 1993.
It might
be on YouTube. Yeah. Well, we can't say YouTube on there. We don't want them to take it down up there.
Somebody, look,
there's a lot of movies I caught on YouTube on the low that somebody uploaded. And we were like 7, 8, 10 years ago, man, YouTube was a wild west putting movies up there, dog. Boy.
Now you gotta put the movies up there. They gotta be backwards. You know what I mean? You know the signs gotta be backwards.
Yeah, all that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you wanna rent it, it's up there on YouTube for $3.99. You can rent it there.
Yeah, or Netflix. But that is one of Chris Rock's. That's one of Chris Rock's finest hours in terms of comedy. I mean, that movie was. You know, rest in peace to the late, great Charlie Murphy, because he was in it, too.
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, he was in it. You know, that movie was hilarious. That movie was straight hilarious.
I know you got things to take care of, and I know you got to wrap this thing up shortly, so... We want to know that we want to know we appreciate you joining us. It's been
fun.
Thank
you for having me.
You bring great energy to the show, and we're going to be definitely supporting your movement along the way. And I want to make sure, matter of fact, I'm going to hit you on the DM and make sure you follow me.
Okay. DM me.
So that way we can put you on to the game right here. We can put you on the CB4 and all the good content, because even T-Max will tell you the stuff that I be posting on my page is enlightening, hilarious, and cut deep from the top in terms of intellectual and hilarity.
Yes, the man puts all types of great stuff up there. You will love it.
Yeah, Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna hit you now. You just follow me there.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys. It was nice interviewing with you guys.
Definitely, we appreciate you so much. Thank you again.
Thank you. Just keep in contact. When I drop my EP, we can set something else up too.
Definitely.
Right, then.
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
I didn't think you got cut off, but yeah, we'll definitely set something up when you get your EP out there. I just hit you just now on your DM.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
All right, you have a good night.
You too.
And yeah, we about to head up out of here too. I got some steak to take care of.
Look, you got to cook it up, man. That's the type of thing everybody wanted to cook, man.
I've been thinking about this steak all night, man, so I'm about to whip this bad boy up now.
Definitely, man. He got the beef, and he about to fry it.
For sure. Be sure to check us out this Friday. We will be back with a doubleheader and maybe Sunday. So big shout-out to everybody that's tuned in. And we'll holler at you.
Yep.